Well, man, it sure is good to be here in Lubbock tonight. I've been here a few days already. Yeah, that's not much, but man, I'm excited to be here. Man, I am one lucky man, my future bride, my bride-to-be, my future wife. I'm so grateful for her and her ministry and her her heart to serve, the way she helps me serve. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Meet me down in verse 12. I'm very thankful to be in the position I am tonight because of my family and people in my church, my home pastor, investing in me, counselors at camp, investing in me, and even my friends investing in me. I'm very thankful for Pastor Preston and the way he's invested in me over the past year. Unfortunately, I got stuck with an awful roommate in Keith. But through him and his friendship and the way he's encouraged me has helped me grow and mature in such a great way. And the relationship I've been able to build with Pastor, the way he encourages me and teaches me how to be humble, teaches me how to give, and teaches me how to love, teaches me how to keep a smile on my face while it's all going on. I'm very thankful also for the teens that are here, for you guys still being here and sticking it out through a tough time. I'm thankful for your parents as well. And the parents who are being involved in the youth, I'm very thankful for you guys. And your guys' heart has Cameron and I fired up. We're ready to go, and we're feeding right off of your energy. And I know it's hard to keep doing that. And you guys know it better than me. I can't even relate to the work you guys are putting in. But thank you all so much for investing. And I'm very thankful for the Lord and who he is to all of us. They say the gospel light attracts a lot of weird bugs. And man, something that would bring all of us together. I mean, the one thing we have in common is that relationship with the Lord. Let's go ahead and stand for the reading of God's word, and we'll get rolling. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, starting in verse 12. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesyings. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. You may be seated. You will not start growing, and you will not keep growing if you are missing the key ingredient of trust. Trust is a very important thing. I remember as a kid, before you can get a job, you're in that weird age where you want to be able to get some money, but you're not quite old enough to work, so you pick up some side jobs like mowing the grass or watching the neighbor's dog. And so our neighbors, and I was around the age of 12, said that I could watch their dog. I'd watched the dog many times before. They had a few smaller dogs. And man, I was excited to make some money. But as you also know, people of that age can sometimes be a little irresponsible. And I remember it was one weekend, and as a kid, I could sleep into forever, just no care in the world, stay up late. Sleep in late. I woke up about noon that day. I'd let their dogs out at about 8. So that's already pushing it. But when I woke up, I did not remember I was supposed to be watching their dogs that day. And man, it dawned on me about 4 o'clock. I was walking around and it hit me. I was like, I'm supposed to be watching their dog right now. And so I bolted over to their house. There was one house in between ours and the one I was watching. And man, when I got there, It was a disaster. Two puppies and one older dog that had some issues. And man, I had that pit in my stomach, like, I am dead. The first people I thought were going to kill me was my parents. It's a miracle I'm here today. I went over there. I remember I grabbed my dad. I'm like, Dad, I forgot to let out their dog, and I'm all panicked. That's, you know, he's upset at me. But he goes over there, and he helped me clean it up. And, man, they never knew to this day that happened in their house. They trusted me to wash their house. If you need something important done for you, man, you're going to want the person doing it to be very trustworthy. The growth in your Christian life is of the utmost importance. From the moment you're saved, the rest of your life has to deal with how you grow. And the Bible lets us know the only way we are going to grow is if God is growing us. God explains in this passage three keys to walking in confidence. The first key shown in this passage is that we are to love our authority. Love our authority. You see, in verses 12 through 15, Paul has a great respect for those people who are serving in the ministry. He writes this letter to the people at Thessalonica, and he's encouraged them in a few things. He's letting them know, man, those people above you, man, you ought to love them. The Bible word here, it says no. Now, if I were to tell you, I know Corey Seager. See, some of you might believe me, but you're probably pretty skeptical. If I started listing off his height, his weight, his birthday, where he went to college, who he plays for, who his parents are, how many kids he has, when his dog's birthday is, everything like that, you would say, okay, you don't really know who Corey Seager is. You just know all about him. The word used in this passage here for knowing those people who are above you in ministry is to know them personally, is to be able to have that deep affection and deep appreciation for them. I mean, you guys are very fortunate to have a staff and a pastor that loves you. And I mean, I've interacted with Pastor Preston, and when he's came out to West Coast a handful of times over the past couple years at school, and man, he loves the people of this church. I'm telling you, the people, everyone that I've interacted with today, everyone I've interacted with on staff, which is the whole staff, I mean, they care. And that's something that we ought to have a deep appreciation for. We ought to know them on a deeper level than just knowing when their birthday is or how this is done or kind of their patterns. The apostle is encouraging us to go a little further than that. Then we see verse 14. Man, and that is warning us. Don't write anyone off. Unruly, feeble-minded, and weak. Man, no one just enjoys having to put in a bunch of labor constantly. We understand as Christians, if we aren't going to love them, who else are we leaving that responsibility up to? If we're delegating that responsibility to the school or to somebody else, man, you've just lost all your control in that area. Never write a person off. Cameron's family came out to visit us at West Coast. It had been about this time last year. And they came out, and Cameron's great-grandmother lived about an hour away from the school. And so, because her family was there, we were able to go down and visit her. Her great-grandma at the time was 101 years old. And she's 102 today, and she's still kicking. I think she'll probably outlive me when it's all said and done. But man, she is going. The thing that her family told me about Nancy Wick is that she's been a Catholic since she was born. Talking about 101 years of Catholicism. You go into her assisted living place, and you can just see the Catholicism all around there. Her family had mentioned, we have been witnessing to her for decades. It's been decades of every time we see her, multiple hour-long conversations, just weary conversations of really trying to drill in the gospel, and it's just never connected. And so as their manner was, when they went and visited her again, they presented the gospel, and I was able to be there with them. And I remember me, Cameron, her mom, and her sister all there till late hours of the night. It had to have been 3.5, 4 hours of sitting in her living room. And man, it was the most amazing, sobering thing when Nancy Wick accepted Jesus Christ as her Savior. How many times are you going to go visit one of the bus kids before you just say, done all I could? How long are you going to go keep inviting your neighbor or your coworker before you just say, I've done my job. I've done what I'm supposed to do. What's it going to take? How easy is it going to be for you to quit? I'm telling you, this verse is telling us never quit. Be patient. You can never stop being patient. Once you stop being patient, I mean, you should be dead by that point. This is a continuous statement. Then at the end of this verse, or verse 15, man, encouraging us not to get revenge. Encourages how to interact. Man, there'll be some people that gyp you. There'll be some people that do you a little bit wrong. And how do you interact? Is that when you cut it off? Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. That's the Lord's job. Our job is to be patient always to all people. Not only are we supposed to love our authority, but we are supposed to also love through action. That is the second key. Man, you see verses 16 through 22. If someone challenged me to memorize 5 verses continuously, I think these are the ones I'd probably go for to go quick. I mean, he is just, talk about shooting it straight. Paul is trying to help the people of Thessalonica learn how to grow. What does growth practically look like? I mean, first, to sum it up, see, if you're growing, you're going to be happy. People are going to be able to see on your face that you are a joyful person, that you are happy, that it's hard to get you down. Second, you're supposed to respond to everything in prayer. Pray without ceasing. This word ceasing confused me a little bit. I wanted to know truly what it meant. And what it means is it's like a reflex. My parents, they had just got a dog. And man, they got it when I was at college over Christmas break. I got back for Christmas break, and there was this cutest little German Shepherd puppy. And man, that's bad news for me, because that makes me want a puppy. Those things are expensive and a lot of work, but I'm trying to just enjoy it while I'm there. They were getting the dog trained while I was there, and I was being a part of that. And they had a trainer, and the trainer taught us one thing that really stuck with me. It said, when you train a dog from when they're young, you just commit, sit, stay, stand, you know, whatever the commands you do are, it's supposed to create a reflex in the dog. They don't listen to you and then decide to listen to you. What they do is you say it, and they've been conditioned enough that it's just a reflex. Man, that's what prayer is supposed to be. Something good happens, your reflex as a Christian should be, man, praise the Lord. Man, send a prayer up to heaven real quick. Man, God, you are so good. When something's a little hard, your first response shouldn't be, all right, now I got to crunch this together. I got to figure out how I'm doing this. I got to figure out how to put it together. It should be, God, I need help here. Man, if you're dealing with a difficult relationship, you're either trying to invite someone to church, or maybe it's a relationship with your family, whatever it is, man, it shouldn't be, oh, what do I got to do with them? It should be, man, I got to pray for them. Because if I'm not praying for them, I'm just trying to fight this battle on my own. The Bible is very clear that we are not fighting against the person, but against principalities and powers. It's a spiritual battle that we're fighting. Next, verse 18, we ought to be thankful. Man, teens, kids, you ought to be thankful for your parents that you're here tonight. Tell you, there's some kids that I even talked to today that wish they could be here tonight. It's something real simple, but you ought to be really thankful that you're here tonight. Man, workers, parents, we ought to even be thankful for the verse. We got to be thankful for our kids too. I know I always felt appreciated when my parents would tell me they were thankful for me, or they gave me just a quick encouraging word. But I'd be grateful that we're saved. I mean, the music tonight set that up perfectly. You can't lose that joy. The church in Revelation, man, they lost their first love, and that's when problems started happening. We got to make sure we don't lose that joy of being saved. And when I was studying, I found another thing that I was like, huh, I never thought of being thankful for this. Being thankful for uneventful days. Zechariah 4:10 starts out by saying, "For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice." There's a lot of people right now, I have a loved one that's in a bad situation. If you don't have anyone in that situation, you ought to be very thankful. There's some people who are struggling with relationships with their parents or with their kids or with a close friend. Man, if you're not struggling with that, you ought to be really thankful. Got two parents in here tonight, you ought to be very thankful. There's a lot of things that are uneventful that you ought to be thankful for. Verse 19, quench not the spirit. Man, I love how Ephesians 5 compares being full of the spirit. How do you know if you're full of the spirit? And Ephesians 5:18 compares being filled with the spirit as a Christian to someone being filled with alcohol. Man, if someone is under the influence of alcohol, they are not them their normal selves. It influences every little thing that they do. They're a worse driver. They're a ruder person. And just speaking on that, I don't think anyone's ever taken a sip of alcohol and then said, man, I did something really good after that. That was just, you know, did anything great. I don't think anyone smoked marijuana and been like, man, I made a really great decision after that. I'm telling you, being full of the Spirit means you're being controlled in every way and influenced by the Spirit. And man, if something comes to your mind, man, you think of a person just out of nowhere. Something pops into your mind like, maybe I should do that for that person. Man, I don't think that's the devil putting that in your mind. You gotta obey every impulse of the Holy Spirit. According to 1 Kings 19, the way God shows up to you is not through some magnificent sign, but through a still, small voice. And you do not want to miss that still, small voice. Verse 20 is encouraging us to trust all of God's word and to love preaching. It's not talking about prophecies necessarily about the future, although that's included because it's talking about preaching and the exhorting of the word of God. Sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. And man, our world today is going to try to take any little thing they can out of the Bible. How many of you guys understand that you got to take the whole word of God? You can't just take a part. I want to show you something. This is a billboard that I saw in real life while attending West Coast. We're driving on the highway. The text is small, but you might be able to see it at the bottom. Need an abortion? California is ready to help. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no greater commandment than these. Mark 12:31. How many of you guys understand that if you spend 10 minutes in the Word of God, that is not what that verse means at all? Man, that should get some blood pumping in you that someone's going to take the inspired scriptures and just bend it so far out of whack. But then I also want to challenge you with, how are you responding to this? Does this make you angry and hate Governor Newsom even more and just, man, I cannot stand that liberal state. It has so much influence on young people in our life, and they have one of the biggest populations, and they sway our nation and just build up a hatred for them. Or how many of you understand, man, they need the gospel badly? They are in very desperate need. And instead of writing somebody off, like we just learned in verse 14, man, that ought to create a burden. We ought not necessarily just get all flamed up at people, but realize, man, the devil is working. And if we're not fighting for influence in anyone's life, man, the world sure is. If we're going to be quiet and timid about what we believe, then the loudest voice is going to be the world. They are not ashamed at all, clearly in the slightest, about their agenda. Man, but how many times do you just want to shy up, not go canvassing, not go soul winning, not invite someone you know has that burden? I tell you, it shouldn't make you hate the person. It should make you have a burden for that person. This also shouldn't worry us. This is happening in our nation and no doubt has a big influence, but worrying is not going to take away that problem. Worrying is going to take away today's peace. Next verse, we see in verse 21 that we need to not depart from what godly people have invested in our lives. If you're here tonight with a parent or with a sponsor, man, this verse is saying, got to hold on to that. All of us are in this building because somebody invested in us. Man, how awesome would it be one day to see whoever led you to the Lord in heaven? Man, wouldn't you be so thankful? And then I challenge you with, is anybody going to come up to you and be thankful that you shared the good news with them? Is anyone going to be thankful that, man, you shared the gospel with me when I did not want to hear it, but man, I am so happy you told me. Verse 22, abstain from all appearance of evil. Man, these are real practical. If something looks like trouble, do not go dabble in it. Man, if there's some certain friends or some certain functions going on, some certain activities, and you're like, I don't know. The Bible it tells you how to make up your mind right there. If there's any question or any hesitation, abstain. Yeah. This word is in the harshest form. It is saying get away and get away fast. Now, the Bible is clear that we do have liberties as a Christian, but I want to encourage you that those liberties are not to please yourself. Our Christian liberties are always used to serve and to reach other people. Amen. If I were driving y'all on a mountain road, and I want you to be real with me here. If I'm driving y'all on a mountain road, would you rather me drive this close to the edge on a 100-foot drop, or would you rather me be hugging a little bit closer to the mountain than right on the edge? I mean, I'm on the mountain. I'm on the road, but a lot of us get a bad attitude sometimes when people are warning. If you saw someone driving like that, or even if you were hiking, you saw someone that close to a 100-foot drop, you'd be telling them, back away, back away, back away. I'm not doing anything wrong. And we understand how foolish it is to be walking that close. And no matter how skilled a person thinks there is, I'm telling you, I'm not trusting them with my life if I'm in the van that close. We've been given two keys so far on how to walk in confidence in the Christian life. But we need the final key of loving Almighty God. This message tonight, walking in confidence, is going to be the theme going forward for our youth group for the rest of this year. Because, man, how are you supposed to make any decisions, know what you're going through? Anybody. If you are not walking in confidence in what you're doing is working. And this last key is where I get the key verse and why it is so important. God's plan for us is growth. The Bible word for that is sanctification. Man, I'm telling you, this growing and sanctification is for our benefit. It's not to make our life harder. It is for our life to be better. Man, people will say, man, y'all are just no fun. Y'all just have a book full of rules. I'm not following that. It's outdated. You're stuck in your ways. Just follow your heart. For the word of God is quick, alive, and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints of the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lead not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. God's way still works. God's way is always going to work. And he encourages them at the end of verse 23 that, hey, Jesus is coming back. Amen. Jesus is still coming back. And you do not want to be unprepared for when Jesus returns. I remember around the same age when I had that dog incident. My mom, she was going off to work one day. She was running off. She said, Trevor, I want you to clean your room by the time I get back. She said, just like that. Just straight, deepest voice I ever heard my mom use. Need to have the room clean. I knew she wasn't playing around. I need to have the room clean. But I mean, I had all day. So I just hung around. I remember my dad got home before my mom, and we were watching football game on the couch, and before you knew it, like 9 o'clock, I had wasted the whole day. And I just heard my mom knocked on the door always before she opened it. It's like, I'm home. Yep, worst words I ever heard right there. I had the same pit in my stomach. I knew I was done for. I remember trying to run up to my room. Too late. She was already there. It's like she just vanished, walked through the walls and got in my room before me. I mean, you know, that probably wasn't a good night next couple days for me. But I did learn how to clean my room after that. I'm telling you, you don't want to be unprepared when Jesus returns. The word blameless here means when accusations are thrown at you, they're not going to stick to you. If I told y'all today, I went out with Pastor, and we were getting food, and he just got so angry at the workers behind the counter. He clocked the first one. He ninja kicked the second one. He came back. He was driving his car, spinning it through the parking lot. I mean, he was just blaring rock music, swearing at everyone down the road. Like, he was just, man, he was upset. How many of you guys would understand? Yeah, that didn't happen. No matter how hard I tried to convince you, no, I promise you that happened. Not a single person is going to believe me. Why? Because he's blameless there. Those accusations I throw are not going to stick. Man, if someone started throwing some accusations of sin at you, a little bit of lying, a little bit of shadiness, maybe a little bit of disrespect or a little bit of pride, someone started throwing a little bit of sin at you, they looked into it. Is it going to stick? Are you going to be blameless? And man, this final verse is the absolute key. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Man, God is calling us Christians here. Man, we got to make sure we're growing. But man, we've seen this is a tough passage to follow. That we are all sinners, and we all know that we've fallen short of that. But man, the one who called you is the faithful one. Amen. Who will do it? Man, I know some of you teens, you might be called into ministry one day. I'm hoping a lot of you are. Yes, clearly, we've seen tonight, we need help. Yes, man, God has called us all to live this passage if you're saved tonight. Like, man, how do I do that? That's hard. I'm telling you, everything God has called you to do, he's never called it to just delegate it and dish it onto your plate so that you could do it. It started with salvation. The first thing God called anyone to is to salvation. And how many of us understand that, man, we didn't save ourselves. For by grace are we saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Man, once you realize everything that God calls you to is not about you becoming this spiritual giant. Man, you might look up to older missionaries or look up to your pastor. I'm telling you, they don't have giant spiritual muscles. They are not a spiritual giant. What they have mastered over years of serving the Lord is how to have the power of God on their life. Not how they can be powerful, but how God's power can be used through them. It takes a lot of effort. Not preaching laziness at all. We saw that in the first little middle portion of verses. But man, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made complete or perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of God may rest upon me. The Apostle Paul wasn't saying he had these spiritual muscles that he could overcome anything. He simply had the power of God on his life. God explained to us three keys in this passage on how to walk in confidence every day in the Christian life. First, we have to love our authority. Got to love those that the Lord has put over us. We need to love through our actions. What does it look like to love? What does it look like to grow? What does it mean to be conformed to the image of Christ? Right there, bullet listed out, shot it straight. And the final key is we need to love Almighty God. Without the power of God, we're not going anywhere. And if you've been struggling with a little bit of doubt in what you're doing, what God's called you to, what class you've been over, what kids, what teens, what parents, what neighbors, what whoever God has told you, hey, go talk to him, go work on this. Having a little bit of doubt about it. Feeling a little bit overwhelmed and lost, like, man, I don't know what direction to go in. I don't know what to do. I'm expected to make these decisions that I have no idea what I'm supposed to do, and I just don't want to mess it up. But I'm lost. Man, God will take you through it because God is the one who is faithful. You are not alone. You can walk in confidence every day because God has promised that his promises are true and that his word works. Therefore, my beloved, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And I'll close with this quote. My feelings are not God. God is. My feelings do not define truth. God's word defines truth. My feelings are echoes and responses to what my mind perceives. And sometimes, many times, my feelings are out of sync with the truth. When this happens, and it happens every day in some measure, I try not to bend the truth to justify my imperfect feelings, but rather I plead with God. God, purify my perceptions of your truth and transform my feelings so that they are in sync with your truth. Let's pray, and Pastor will bring the invitation.